Extreme adventure. I mean, adventure's hard enough, but extreme adventure is, well, what it says. Now, Dan Bull is an Aussie extreme adventurer, if that's the right word, and he has the title of the highest kayak on earth. What does that mean? We better find out because he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just trying to get my head around what is the highest kayak on earth mean?
Yeah, well, it's fairly straightforward, as it suggests. It's a kayak paddled for just under a few kilometres. But I did it just beneath the summit of the highest volcano in the world. So at extreme high altitude. And that's what clinched me the record. So
hang on. You've taken your kayak up a volcano on your back?
Yes. Exactly. But I'll just, as crazy as that may sound, I'll just point out the fact that it was actually, so that was the question for me. How can I, you know, I really wanted to combine my experience at high altitude with my love of water. So I grew up at sea level, did a bit of kayaking. Actually, my folks are both avid kayakers. So it was actually them who gave me that idea of, you know, combining it. Basically a sea level sport with higher altitude mountaineering. So I asked myself that question, well, it sounds exciting, but how can I actually get the kayak up the mountain? So I managed to track down a hybrid inflatable, a foldable kayak. So whilst I did in fact carry it up on my back, I was in a reduced size in a backpack. But then of course that added the extra effort of having to set it up after having carried it up by the side of the lake.
So when you go, when you're on your way up the volcano, it's you're rock climbing. You're not just walking up a track, are you? You're actually doing something else as well. You're having to climb this thing.
Yeah, it's a great point because there's very much not a track, so it's good to point that out. Anyone who thinks there's a trail that you're able to follow up, it's got a, you know, is quite wrong there. So you know, there's obviously trails part of the way up in terms of for those wanting to climb the actual mountain. And even there, when I say trail, it's a very loose term in terms of maybe some footprints here and there, depending upon the terrain. So I remember first stepping foot on this volcano and thinking it was something like what you'd experience on Mars. It was quite arid desert. It's actually in the Atacama Desert. But then as you got higher up, because of the high altitude, you encounter snow and ice and all sorts of terrain.
And breathing difficulties. Hard to breathe, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, just carrying probably around 50 kgs at sea level, most people would probably say is a bit tough. Mm. But then doing that with a lot less oxygen than what we experience here. So basically the higher up you go, the thinner the air gets. So the you know, the whole body is basically screaming for more oxygen to be able to keep up with the activities that you're trying to perform, and it just adds to the challenge. So, and then as you said, you know, crossing terrain, rocky, icy terrain, doing a bit of climbing as you go, and it was very much a case of exploration in terms of trying to actually find this lake. So it was off the beaten path, that's for sure.
Now, you're also the current world record holder for the youngest to climb the highest mountain and highest volcano on each continent. I mean, when you started out, was that the goal, or you started out to just do one at a time and then all of a sudden you thought, hang on a minute, I could maybe set a record here?
Yeah, it was more of the latter. I think it would have been a bit too overwhelming to consider doing it all at the outset. So, in fact, Everest, you know, the highest point in the world was the initial dream,
yep.
Which I had during my schooling years. I remember seeing some old footage on TV and remember being quite in awe of that, but also thinking it looked pretty scary. But somehow that made me think it would be a worthy challenge to tackle, and it was probably a good few years before I actually started to try and put that dream into action. But just started with the basics, bit of rock climbing, Then moved into some ice climbing, actually went up to Kosciuszko, our highest summit, a bit of frozen waterfall climbing, and then eventually, you know, headed to the Himalayas, where, you know, that's probably one of the ultimate mountain ranges in the world, and climbed a mountain called Arma Dublam, just shy of 7,000 metres, and standing on the top of that, was able to look across and see the summit of Everest that, you know, didn't seem too far away. And that was the first time where I kind of truly believed I could turn my dream into a reality.
Where did it start? What inspired you to do this?
You know what? I think I remember, you know, a lot of people actually have a pathological fear of heights. I actually remember realizing quite young that I was the opposite. I actually loved heights. I spent a lot of my childhood just climbing up trees, possibly onto the roof of the house. You know, and I enjoyed that thrill of the climb, but also getting a different perspective, enjoying the views from the top. So I think it just kind of naturally stemmed from there. I did play a lot of your other conventional sports, footy, cricket, basketball, but there was always this kind of draw to actually get outside, you know, into nature and tackle these high altitude challenges.
When you're doing it, is it exhilarating, or are you, not so much fear is not the right word, what's it like when you're actually going through the process of getting to the summit, getting to where you want to be?
Yeah, it's actually, look, there are moments of exhilaration, but to be brutally honest, it's just a lot of prolonged pain and discomfort. And so I think, like this kayaking expedition was around 3 weeks. And a lot of that you're in really facing the elements. You've got the high altitude, so you're feeling symptoms of hypoxia, nausea, constant headaches, loss of appetite, although you've got to force yourself to eat to generate energy. So, you know, it's not too glamorous, but it's just, for me, it's a matter of reflecting back to those moments of clarity when I was back down here at sea level, making these decisions that this would be a worthwhile pursuit, and just trusting that I had some kind of sense at that point in time. But yeah, there are definite moments, particularly the successes along the way. So just reaching base camp and then making it to high camp, and you kind of gradually feel your body adapting, which is quite an impressive thing to feel that, you know, you rock up at base camp and you feel like death. And then maybe a week later, you know, that becomes home and you feel comfortable and strong. And then, of course, the success, particularly when you've had challenges and setbacks along the way, I think it's never a given. So you set off with a goal, but, particularly in the mountains, or, you know, any goal for that matter, it's definitely not a given. And so to actually make that a reality is pretty exhilarating sensation.
Well, congratulations. I always find it intriguing speaking to people like yourself who get out of their comfort zone and do something that us mere mortals find extraordinary, amazing, and also stupid, Dan. But anyway, I was over in New Zealand early this year and went to the Sir Edmund Hillary monument, you know, the museum there at Mount amazing. Cook, and that makes me even think you guys are just nuts, because when you see it in reality and you see these peaks and you see from afar, how just extreme these mountains are. It just takes courage. It takes everything that I don't have. So congratulations, Dan. I'd love to have a chat with you another time in more depth. Thanks very much for your time.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Dan Ball, high altitude kayaker who's in the Guinness Book of Records. I've spoken to, and this will drive my wife mad, my brother-in-law used to be a mountain climber, and he doesn't do it anymore, but one of his great mates put a book out, and I just can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. I've actually interviewed him on air. It's a wonderful book. I'll try and find out the name of the book and let you know, because it is well worth a read. So there's Dan Bull, high altitude kayaker.